on rolling, baby. This is Tall Can Audio.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome inside the TCA studio in beautiful Bytown, Canada. A Wednesday edition of the Tall Can Audio podcast. Matt Robinson with you, as always, sitting across the table from one of our friends here from the Lake of Bays Brewing Company, Angela Thompson. What's happening? Welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me. This is great. What a beautiful day to be drinking
hot.
Some pints.
It's too hot.
It's the
first week of June and I'm already done. Like I just.
It's because you're not at the lake. That's why.
For now.
Yeah. Well, I know. I probably won't see you until September.
I'm a ghost here shortly.
We'll pick this up in September.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know if you were listening or not. Last week, Lever was giving me shit for, well, you can't complain about how cold it is in the winter and how hot it is. I can. Like, watch me do it.
You know what? For the one time, I'll agree with Lee.
Okay.
I feel like you gotta love one or the other. And I hate winter, except for that there's hockey.
Okay. So I think I'm with you. Like, I go back. If I'm here, I prefer the winter.
Yes.
I can layer up. I can hunker down for a couple days in the really cold. But yeah, in the summer, I guess I would take if I'm up at the lake, I'll take the really, really hot, where I can sit out at the lake, just jump in whenever you need to. A couple of tunes going in the background, a couple cold beers.
Mm. Yeah, and, fair. Yeah. If I'm just sitting, if I'm not by waterfront and it's super hot, I'm usually inside with the air conditioning anyway.
Yeah.
But I see your point.
Well, and this is, first week of June, I think it's 27. It's going to get worse. Like, this isn't the worst of it, right? In July, you're going to hit 32, 34 a couple of times. So the fact that I'm already malting is not a good sign. But as always, you have you've done the deed here. You have brought beer for us to try from the Lake of Bays Brewing Company. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the first one we're going to try here?
Well, you say it's hot outside, so this will like really quench your thirst. It's a tropical fruit pale ale. It's called Keep Rolling. So for the last few years, we have we need to open it. We've been doing tropical fruit pale ales. Kind of the first one was Daydreaming, more of a citrus. Last year, it was peach melon, and this year it's mango. So 9 IBUs, 5% alcohol. So easy drinking. Lots of mango in it.
Yeah, that's nice.
And
we have tried this one before. I can't remember if it was on the show, as you pointed out in the green room. But I think I've had this before, but I don't know if I've ever had it on the mic.
No. That's when we just came over for a little visit.
Yeah.
So, but yes, you had it almost before it was live at the LCBO. So
right.
You kind of got a sneak peek.
So other than that, like, is this the first year for it?
This exact
incarnation.
Flavoring. Yeah. We've been doing it 3 years. So it's Daydreaming, the next stop, and this year it's Keep Rolling. So it's a 3-month seasonal at the LCBO, but we're also going to have it in the beer store, grocery, and hopefully at some licensees because it's really, really good on top. So
throughout most of the summer?
Throughout. This one will keep going most of the summer and into the fall.
Okay.
Next stop, I think, went to like December or January. Just how
busy. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So really. Really, really great beer that keeps coming out of our brewmaster, Andrew, and he keeps killing it.
No doubt about that. I'm not sure I've ever asked a guest this before in 2024.
Oh, God.
You Limp Bizkit fan? Were you at one point?
Yes. I wouldn't say now. Like, I don't listen to them on a daily.
Totally fair. Because they're out on tour again. And they're now in their like 50s yelling break stuff, and it's all about the Nookie. And you're like, is it still all about the Nookie, Fred Durst? But the reason I ask is because this is a reference that gets made from time to time on the show between Rob and myself, or even in the green room when someone happens to just throw away that, you know, that phrase, keep on rolling. That's the beginning of that 2001. So keep on rolling, baby. You know what time it is.
Yeah.
Keep on rolling, baby. You know what time it is.
If Rob ever says to me, like, well, you know, you just keep rolling, like, I can't help myself. I have to respond. You know what time it is. And
you're just going to think about this beer when you see that now.
This is somehow a song from Limp Bizkit linked to a beer in 2024.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
And I like the beer.
It's so good. And I've actually had people who don't necessarily drink beer, and they're like, I actually like this. Like, it doesn't, it's not hoppy. It's very, very easy drinking. Like, I would say it's like on the way to like a ready to drink, or like rather not the same flavoring.
What did you say the percentage was on this one?
5%.
Yeah, that's about perfect for a hot summer day, right? Yeah. And like, I'm not always much of a mango guy, a pineapple guy. Like, I'm not a guy who's going to sit down and have like a sippy drink that tastes like that, or but this kind of flavor of it, this level of it in my beer, just about perfect for a. I could see myself taking a few of these to the lake I come, right? Because it's nice, it's cold, it's kind of got that summer flavor to it. I always say every season is stout season, but like that's when I sit down and. I was going to say barbecue. When I sit down and watch my dad do the barbecuing or, things like that, a little later in the evening, you sip on a stout or whatever. But when you're down on the dock and you're watching the kids do their swimming thing or tubing, or my nephew, God love him, still prefers to push Uncle Matt into the lake whenever he gets the chance off the dock.
It.
Yeah.
I love it.
This is that kind of beer, right? For enjoying a nice summer day. It's not overpowering, but it's there enough to make you know it's there. I kind of like that.
It also, for me, would be a flavor changer, right? Like if you're drinking a lager or, an IPA, and just kind of to change it up a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, when it's hot and you get a cold one of these, whew, it's gonna be a good summer.
So you are at this coming weekend, because we're going to drop this on Wednesday morning.
Yep.
You are over at, I can't remember which one it is. Is it the Orleans?
It's the Orleans.
The Orleans Beer Festival. Lake of Bays is being represented by you?
No, it's our events team headed by Maya, who's phenomenal. Every weekend, she's in a different part of the province. Like, she just does, and she has a full-time job, too, working at Lake of Bays. So she's a busy girl. So her and I believe Elena will be there. I'll need to be there Saturday night.
You know what time it is.
To help out, and I have some people going. Unfortunately, you were busy.
I am out of town.
You have a stand-in.
I do. The one thing about this show, no strangers to craft beer and people who will take an invitation to. Lever Sage is going to be there.
He is. So if anyone wants an autograph from him, he'll be there Saturday night.
Yeah, or a snarky comment,
or both.
Yeah, you can do many things at once as long as one of them is snark.
So for sure, Keep Rolling will be there, probably our Sun Chaser, 90 Cal, probably a few cores, and I'm not sure if they're going to bring non-alcoholic. I'm pretty sure they will.
Yeah.
So we'll have something, like I say, we have everything in our lineup. We have something for everybody, no elk, low elk, high, fruity. We got you covered.
Is this like are these sorts of things, these craft beer festivals like we're going to see this weekend in Orleans, like... from your point of view, as someone who's working with Lake of Bays, is this about getting in front of as many people as possible? Is it more about showing off what's new? Like, what is the benefit to a craft brewery at showing up to one of these, other than a captive audience who's very interested in what you guys do?
I think it's kind of imperative because Lake of Bays is 4 hours from here.
Yep.
That many people maybe don't know or haven't tried it. So when you go to these festivals, they're like, oh, Lake of Bays, okay. And, I have a friend who has a cottage there.
Sure.
I drive through it to go to Gravenhurst. Like, all these people didn't know it was there. And now that, sometimes we have, like, little pamphlets saying, we have 2 brew pubs and, a big warehouse and the breweries in Baysville and everything about Lake of Bays. They're like, oh, I didn't know about it. But next time I'm going through Muskoka.
Yeah.
So it's always good. And obviously we want people to know about our new seasonals, kind of like our Steadfast 90 Cal non-elk, which are growing. So it's definitely to get in front of people. It's also fun. The girls love doing it. I worked the beer... I Heart Beer and Taco Fest last year in March, and honestly, it's so fun. People are so awesome.
Where was that one?
That was at Aberdeen Pavilion.
Oh, yeah, okay.
They did it again this year.
Yeah.
We go to all of them. The I Heart Beer and Taco Fest is all across the province.
Right.
We were at everyone this year. So we're definitely, like I said, the events team is amazing, and they go everywhere. They just got a new Jeep.
Nice.
Decorated
up, logos, everything.
It's getting wrapped today.
Okay.
So I will see it, I guess, this weekend in Ottawa. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's always great to see, customers that come of mine and just people who are, you know, they're like, oh, I love like a base starting with Spark House. That, we've talked about
for
that
everybody.
A million times. Yeah, that's the, pretty much
that's the launch point for a lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, they're always fun. It's always a good time. And yeah, so if you're there, you have a big red tent and some really good beer to have. So and if you want to see me, I'll be there Saturday night.
There you go. You can say hello to our friend Angela and try some Lake of Bays brew. I can tell you for sure this Keep On Rolling is pretty tasty.
See, that was very low right there. That was really good.
It's almost in Bunda territory.
Yes,
I can almost get there. Right? Look for that. That'll be on Saturday. This is going down, well, it's all weekend long, but you'll be there on Saturday night.
You know what time it is.
Yeah. That's the most important thing.
Of course. And Lever.
Lever, too. Yeah. Lever. Well,
I'm pretty sure
he's going Saturday night.
Yeah.
Don't be disappointed if he's not there, kid.
Best of luck. Next week, I should tee up, get people talking about it. I don't know how pumped you are this year, but this, as you and I sit here right now, is week one in the CFL season. But the Red Blacks have a bye in week one. They aren't starting their season until next Thursday. And to help us tee that up next week, AJ Jackiebeck will be back in here. That's a guy
who
knows his CFL football.
He does.
So that'll be fun. You got the itch this year? I don't know how... Where football ranks on your where CFL football ranks on your list of priorities?
It's up there, and I mean we have a team here, right? So
yeah.
I'm super interested. I know so many of my friends have season tickets. My dad has 4 season tickets, so I do end up going to a bunch. But it's so funny how I walk through the stadium and I don't know lots of people, so I'm not a very popular person, but I'm just saying, like, you just see people, like, I work at a bar part-time, like, I see, like, some of my customers that come in there, I see my customers from, like, a base, it's just...
Familiar faces?
Like, it's about the football, but it's also, they've done such a good job there, they just need a winning team.
Yep. No, there's a community there, there's a dedicated fan base there, there's a great venue there.
Oh, 100%. There's
just hasn't been a great football team there, and so we're all looking forward to that. Drew Brown and... revamped receiving core. We'll see if the offensive line can keep Brown on his feet. Lots to worry about or think about or
some home wins.
Yeah, wouldn't that be delightful?
Yes.
We'll get into that with AJ next week. So stick around for that as well. One of the reasons I thought this was a great week to get you back in here is your relationship with the last Edmonton Oilers team to go to the Stanley Cup Final, which was back in 2006. That was the Sean Horkoff, Fernando Pisani, Jason Smith, Chris Pronger, Dwayne Rolison, and UC Markkanen, Edmonton Oilers. A slightly different version of a pro team getting to the final than this one. That was one that finished 8th place, had to knock off some big dogs to get there. The Red Wings included, I believe the Sharks.
And the Ducks.
Yeah, and the Ducks. So a couple of trips through California to get it done. But that one was done on sort of grit and toughness and all those words that we throw around at playoff time. Maybe Sean threw with that Oilers team more than most teams we've seen in a very long time. And it was coming out of the lockout where we had finally gotten the salary cap put in, and it was supposed to allow every market in the league to compete on equal footing. And you've maybe never seen a better indication of that than a Carolina Hurricanes Edmonton Oilers final coming out of that lockout. And as we sit here now in 2024, it is not the same type of Oilers team. This is your Leon Draisaitl, Connor McDavid, Evan Bouchard Edmonton Oilers, the run and gun, unstoppable offense, crazy good power play, even when it stalls a little bit in the playoffs, versus the Florida Panthers, who have, I guess, a little bit of the same vibe as maybe the Carolina Hurricanes would have in 06, an untraditional market that, you know, struggles to get noticed. But they've got stars of their own. Barkov is fantastic. Kachuk is fantastic. Bobrovsky's got the biggest contract in the history of, I'm going to stop myself there. I was going to say in the history of goaltending, Carey Price's might have been just a little higher. But that Panthers team is fantastic as well. And so just before we get into sort of your history with the 06 team, I'm sort of curious how you look at this particular showdown in terms of the way these teams are going to match up, your level of excitement or lack of, if you're not pumped for it? Like, what do you think of this cup final between these two teams?
Oh, yeah, I'm so pumped the Oilers are back in. Like I said, I would have worn my jersey in here today, but
it's a little warm.
It's a little warm.
So. Angela has brought some Oilers memo. If she'll let us, we'll take some pictures. We'll get that up on our Instagram.
Yeah.
But it's too warm for the jersey.
It's too warm for the jersey. But I'll wear it. I'll wear it on the first game. Yeah. No. Crazy pumped. The Edmonton Oilers fans are amazing. I mean, they're very hard on them when they don't win.
Sure.
Or if they win, not in the best way, they're still not happy. But super pumped for it. It's going to be very interesting because you have a really good goaltender on the Panthers side,
yep,
and kind of an unknown. But then you think of their offense, but Florida has really good defense. So mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a very tight series. I mean, it could be wrong. It could be over in four. But
that's always possible,
it's
right?
It's always possible.
Somebody gets shocked.
Yeah, exactly. You run into a hot goaltender. I mean, they'll still
– It happens.
I mean, that's what happened in 2006.
That was Dwayne Roloson.
So, yeah. So I think it's awesome that the Oilers are back in. Should the Oilers have been in there a long time earlier? Yes. but I think they finally got that team dynamic instead of just relying on the stars.
Right.
And we'll go back to that 2016
sure.
where there were absolutely no stars on there. but then Florida, like, I just look at the resurgence of their popularity. Like, you used to be able to walk in a playoff game, get a $28 ticket,
yep,
and sit in the lower bowl. Now they're sold out. Like,
yeah,
this is so great for Florida. It's great for the league. I think it's going to be awesome. I think it's there's finally a Canadian team back in. It doesn't mean much because there's lots of Canadians on the Panther,
yeah,
on any team.
Always,
right?
Is, yeah.
I mean, the Ducks won. They had more Canadians than anything else. So
when the Bruins beat the Canucks, they had, yep, more Canadians than the Canucks did.
So,
so it's whatever side you want to pick,
yeah,
on.
But yeah, it'll be nice to see that city get fired up again. But yeah, what are your thoughts on it?
It's interesting, and Rob and I tried to talk about it a little on the last episode of the show, but we were recording Sunday afternoon, so Game 6 hadn't happened yet. And so you're sort of like, here's what I think so far, and if Dallas wins, then this, and if Edmonton wins, then this. Edmonton came out on Sunday night when we were done recording, and look, it was a tight game, but Edmonton, it wasn't like they were clinging on for dear life and weren't full value for the win. That was maybe one of the best games I've seen, and I haven't sat down and watched 82 Oilers games per regular season. It's late. I'm tired. I'm old. I go to bed, right? So I haven't seen every Oilers game this year, but that's the best game I think I've seen Stuart Skinner play, which is going to be huge, right? Because that is where the biggest mismatch would seem to be, right? Sergei Bobrovsky at $10 million a year, who for the first couple years of that contract in Florida didn't look very good. It was not playing out very well, but they seem to learn how to get him the rest he needed at the right times. He sort of refound his game, and he's been very good in the last couple of playoffs. And so if Stuart Skinner can't do that, and that hasn't been a given all through these playoffs, like we've seen Pickard play some games as his backup before, that's where the mismatch would be. That doesn't mean that's where it will be, but if Bobrovsky looks like his best and Stuart Skinner does not look like his best, this is maybe where we circle back to your thought that, well, you know, sometimes things happen and it's over in four. But Florida can't match Edmonton's top end. Florida has great depth, but Dallas had great depth, and Edmonton's top guys found a way to punch through it, right? Like, I still, as we sit here all the way into this three rounds deep, getting ready to start the cup final, I still don't think we've seen McDavid at his best, and that's coming at some point. That will boil over, and Draisaitl's been great at times. Hyman is now like right there amongst the top goal scorers in playoff history for a single playoff year. Nugent Hopkins had a great game. I still think I pick Edmonton, but it makes me super worried because I don't know how much I trust Skinner. Like, that's just sort of where I'm at with it, right? And Edmonton's D is not as deep either as Florida's, but you hope, I guess, if you're betting on Edmonton, that those forwards are going to overwhelm Florida's defense, right? They went out, they brought in Corey Perry, Evander Kane a year or two ago. Like, when he's on his game, he's a difference maker. I don't know, Nugent Hopkins and the secondary crew is better than it's been in a while. I think it's going to be a really interesting final. And if Stuart Skinner is just good, just don't cost them stuff. Just don't be below average. I think Edmonton will win. But that, to me, is the thing I will be looking at earliest in the series, is that kind of difference maker in goal.
Oh, for sure. And, like, you can't lose games.
Because he's not Dwayne Rolison.
He's not Dwayne Rolison. But, I mean, Dwayne Rolison was a 40-year-old goalie going into that
trade deadline pickup, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, he was playing well, I mean, until he got hurt, which I'm sure we'll talk about. But, it's all about how your stars play and how your third line play. And then this kind of goes back to 2006, right? So that third line has to, because they're going to try to shut down your first two because they're...
That's where you hope you'll saw each other off, right? Barkov and Kachuk and Bennett and...
Yeah, so your third line has to get rolling. I mean, they have been... I think they've been playing great hockey. Now, did I watch a lot? I watched a little bit over their 82 games, and they always seemed up and down. What was it? They were October, November. They were...
Down to like 10% to make the playoffs. Then they've been the hottest team in the league ever since, like since December 1st or whatever it is.
And I think McDavid will put it up a notch. Like this is.
Yeah, and when he's not doing him, I don't mean he's been bad. He's been McDavid fine. Yeah. And when in the Stanley Cup final, if he goes to McDavid good or McDavid great, there's no team in the league that's stopping him when he does that. So if he gets there. This could be short in the other direction, right?
And it's so hard to get to the Stanley Cup final, right? So I think he sees this as his chance, right? He's signed till 2026, I think. And so
2 years left after this one, I believe.
Yeah. So
Draisaitl, only 1 year left.
So you've had the window for a very long time with really great forwards. The only thing really was your goaltending.
Yeah.
Your defense has been okay, but your goaltending, you just couldn't find that piece. So
yeah.
It's hard to get back. I mean, I say that in Florida Panthers are back-to-back going to the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, Eastern champs.
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't always happen.
Nope.
You can't.
Well, last year, Florida just scraped in on the last weekend of the
And now they're way better this year, right? So, you know, it's I think this is like, I don't want to say make or break for McDavid, but I want to say that this is his chance. What happens if they don't win? Like, does he get, maybe I should go somewhere where I can win? And that's not always...
Toronto.
Oh, do you want to talk about Toronto?
No, I really don't. I wish I hadn't walked right into that.
We talked about this right before we went on. I'm like, I never bothered you about them losing.
You didn't.
And then you bring up Toronto, and now I
was bothered enough by them losing. I didn't need help.
Well, I said I was going to text you, and I didn't. But I'll just still say it now. I'm just... So happy.
That's a wicked laugh you've got over there. Laugh.
That's my Maple Leafs laugh.
Okay.
Yep.
So take me back to 2006. You're working for the Edmonton Oilers at this point, and we have talked previously when you've been on the show about what it was like after Game 7 in Carolina where the Oilers had lost. And the team has to be prepared for a win or a loss, and so there's sort of a year-end party, not... Party's the... Yeah.
But celebration.
Yeah.
Party.
Even if the players aren't feeling like this is as big of a moment as it could have been. We lost in 7, but you have come all this way. You've put all this time into it. You made it this far. It is worth acknowledging. And so you had helped kind of organize all that, friends and family being there, and what that party was going to look like. Can you remember at all what this week looked like? Ahead of the Stanley Cup final, what's happening behind the scenes with the Oilers right now in terms of are we already thinking ahead to 4, 5, 6, 7 games from now when we might need to be planning a big celebration? Is it more about how many of these guys want to bring families on the road when we go? How many tickets are actually available to fans? Like at this level, I'm sure there are sponsors and the league is buying up so much. Like, can you remember sort of the few days leading up to the final, what that was like working for the Oilers?
It was so busy for everyone. I worked in corporate sales. So like getting sponsors, do you want to sponsor? We're going to have like a VIP tent. So we have a beer sponsor. Okay. And then, people are dealing with the catering for that tent and who's going to come in and, You know, one of the things was that time Labatt was a sponsor of the NHL, but Molson was a sponsor, you know, so you have to kind of, you know, the NHL has a lot of say in the Stanley Cup final. Even tickets, like
they take over a lot.
They
right?
do, like, they it, do.
Yeah.
And so it was just crazy busy. I mean, they would have started in the third round to kind of think about it. Okay, if we do move on, like, you know, what are we gonna do for players? I think the families only went to game seven with us and
right.
sponsors. I mean, maybe on their own they
sure.
weren't, but it was just, and it was so exciting, and it was you're so tired, but we had the Oilers had taken it 4-0 against the Ducks, right? So we had a little bit more time because
rest,
Boston
yeah.
and Carolina were like, we're like slagging it
look
out till
the
game seven.
Memory on you.
Oh, and we were like
Scott Walker, I think, scored the overtime winner for the Hurricanes.
Yes, but we're like Boston was so hurt that we're like, see, when you try to like put a premonition, like I hope they win,
right?
Because we'll beat
them.
They'll
be easy pickings.
Yeah, and then this is what happens. But I know the Boston Bruins were just—they were so beat up, and to get to Game Seven, it was a huge thing for them,
right?
So then you get okay, we know it's Carolina. And we're all excited on our part, but so busy. It's like 12-hour days and calling, you know, making sure customers are happy. Okay, we have this to sponsor, this to sponsor. And just nuts, just nuts.
When you say corporate sales, so instead of dealing with, like, individuals buying season tickets, you're dealing with the different companies who sponsor
yeah.
the team or who
yeah.
own boxes or things like that.
Yeah, so I was a coordinator at the time, so kind of I don't want to say low in the totem pole, but if there was people above me.
Sure.
I mean, they make all the huge decisions. There's usually something in their contract, like if we go to the playoffs, like, or we put new ones together for playoffs. So, I mean, that was a lot of work too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but you really didn't care that you were, because you're like, the Stanley Cup finals are here. Like, it's insane. And everyone was so happy. The city was buzzing. It was unreal. Unreal fun.
When you're inside that bubble, are you aware, and maybe that's the wrong word, but like, we're not supposed to be here. Like, we are the underdogs. We came in as eighth in the West, and we have made it to the Cup final. And does that factor into you? Or is it just, yeah, screw it. No, we beat all these teams. We're here. We're legit. Like, we got just as good a chance to win now as we did these last three series. We won those. Like, does that linger around at all in the sense that, like, yeah, like, we're here, but we might not have to plan for the championship. We're like, no, we're here. We got a 50-50 shot at this. Like, what's the mindset like at that point? Do you remember?
I think it's both. I think you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe we're here. And we just, you know, we knocked off the President's Trophy, Detroit.
Yeah.
Red Wings, San Jose with Thornton, Chichu, McCulloch. And I think because the San Jose had won the first two games, but then there was a huge hit, I think, Smith on McCulloch. And that kind of changed the series, and the Oilers won the next four games.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, okay, the Ducks. And the Ducks were one of the teams to beat, who was a favorite to go.
Well, they would win the Cup the next year. Like, they were right there on the cusp.
Yeah. And during that third round series, there was a flu bug going through the Oilers.
Oh, no.
And they were all, like, on intravenous between periods, no one could stay in the same room. Usually you, unless you're a veteran of so many games, it's in your contract
sure.
that you, but everyone was by themselves. I remember, I think it was in game one or two, Jason Smith lost 25 pounds in one game.
Good Lord.
Yeah, because he was so ill. But of course, they're gonna play. And so when that first started, this
and I know that sounds crazy to some people, when you're playing hockey in late May, early June in Southern California, and you're sweating as much as, like, even in earlier parts, there's goalies in just average games throughout the season who lose 9 pounds of fluid in a game or whatever. So when you're sick and playing in June in Southern California, yeah, to double that is not I mean, it's shocking to hear that it happened to somebody, but it's not unbelievable, right? That's out there. That's a possibility for you.
And then just how they got through that series, because we never thought they would. When we realized that at the beginning of the series, we're like,
they've
oh,
all got
God,
the plague.
We're not going to do this,
right?
And then they did. And then, you know, to go into the Stanley Cup Finals, like all the excitement around it, you know, all of after the games on White Ave, and it was just unreal. And then, you know, after Dwayne Rolston got hurt. I think they're at 4-4. They brought in Ty Conklin.
Yeah, that was at the end of game one, right? Yeah. At the cup final.
Yeah, so they lost 5-4. And I mean, obviously, hindsight is 20/20.
Sure.
But instead of putting Conklin in the next day or the next game, which I would have.
Right.
They put
he was the one dressed as the backup that night. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he came in for Rolly, and then they switched starters. I would have let Conklin go in game two because then you just broke his confidence. So in game three, you know what I mean? So they were down, I think, 3-1. And then they came back. And I think that last game, game six in Edmonton, when they won 4-0, I think we're like, okay, we have a chance. And then to get
at that point, it's down to a coin flip.
Well,
right?
Yeah. And I mean, you get to Carolina. So we obviously, the players were already there. We flew in that afternoon, I think. And
at that point, you're organizing the.
Well, everything had been set, but you know.
But you're coordinating the friends and family
side.
Yeah,
so that was my part. Some people have
everybody
like
gets a certain
sponsors.
Number of tickets. And,
yeah. But just like, do they need anything? Like, okay, the bus is leaving there. Like, if you have any issues, like, I'm the one you talk to.
Right.
So I was taking care of wives, girlfriends, families.
Right.
Other people were taking care of the sponsors.
Sure.
Other people were taking care of different people. And then, so you're just sitting in the hotel and it's hot. And it had been hot in Edmonton. Like,
yeah.
Edmonton doesn't really get hot,
right.
But during the Stanley Cup playoffs, I mean, it gets like 25,
yeah,
it's
sure.
like almost like 30 degrees every day, and you're like trying to run around and do things, and you're like, I'm not used to it being this hot here, on like, never mind during the NHL Stanley Cup final.
Right, they're still playing hockey.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be this hot.
So we were staying in like three different areas, so Carolina, or where the arena is in Raleigh, it's like a... It's called
the Tri-City.
Yeah, so...
It's Raleigh, Durham, and one other. Green...
It starts with a C. No, not Charlotte.
No, it's not Greensboro?
Oh, maybe. So I think I was staying there. And yeah, so, you know, you get on the bus, everybody on the bus to go to the game. And it was weird because everyone stood the whole time. And we're like in suits and like heel. Like,
right.
Like, oh, okay. And they sit down like at intermission or like a whistle. And I'm like, this should really be though. Okay. I'm like, I'll just stand up. And, you know, it was 2-1. You know, it ended up 3-1. And
yep.
I think that's... It was sad that they were so close. And there was some really, looking back, some really bad penalties given to Matt Green, who was a defenseman at the time, but he was like
a
newer one.
In the past, yeah.
Yeah. So I know he was getting frustrated all playoffs long. You know, if it was someone else who had been there for 10 years, would have been a difference.
Sure.
Not making excuses, but
no.
There was a few of those. And it was so close that, you know, it's just, they didn't get beat like 7-0, right?
No,
it was 2-1 with an empty netter. And this is what they all work for. This is why, this is their dream. And then to see all the emotion after, and I think I mentioned that Steve Seaus, you know, lost one of his kids in the arena. Fine. We found.
Yeah, he ran away.
He just, because there was so much emotion. Sorry, didn't lose.
No, I'm with you.
Okay,
but yeah,
sorry.
Because we have talked about this before.
Yes, yeah.
His kid got lost. We did not lose.
Yes,
his
yes,
child,
yes. So. It wasn't me personally.
No.
Just with all the commotion and people after the game, you know, you let go
kinda
of mom's hand
and
kind of ran off. But I mean, so that emotion there. And then we go back to a hotel in Raleigh and it's all set up, like the food spread, like for a celebration, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And we would have had the cup there. We would have had everything there. And it was just, it was kind of like quiet, but like they were reminiscing. I mean, they did do very well for what they were intended to do at the beginning.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's still a huge disappointment because, I mean, how many players retired or never got to the Stanley Cup? I mean,
let me ask you this, because you're in the moment, and I shouldn't have cut you off there, because Chris Pronger was going to move on to Anaheim,
the next year, and
win a cup. But is it overstating it? Because like we've all been to things at like a hotel ballroom, whether it's a wedding or whether it's maybe like after a funeral they have the whatever they
celebration
call
of life. Yeah,
yeah, these sorts of things. Is it as dark around these pro athletes, is that like, are we treating it like a funeral, like a celebration of life? Is it that sort of quiet, intense, or is it just sort of for them? Yeah, we're bummed. We've come this far. We put all this time into it, but it's a job and we can enjoy the party still. Like, what's the vibe like after the game in that spread, in that ballroom, whatever you'd call
so
it.
So how can I say this? So it started off kind of like, oh, and like the president of the Oilers, Patrick LaForge, who's
right,
just a gem at the time, you know, great speech just about, you know, how far, you know, the team has come, the staff, all the work that we put in. And that's something, there was a special group here.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think for the first little bit, people were like, okay, let's get something to eat from this amazing spread and beautiful,
and be
like ice statues and like amazing. And
then, it has to be good enough for a win, like in case this has gone the other way. Yeah.
Yes. So I think after a while, like, It didn't go away, but I think after you have a few pints,
sure,
like everything, everything.
Anywhere, anywhere. Yes.
So my favorite memory is because they still had like someone who worked at the hotel like handing out beer, and so I think it was either Jason Smith or Dwayne Rolson. Now I can't remember. Gave them I don't even know how much money and said, you can go now.
I remember you telling us this, whether it was on the mic or not, I can't remember that one of those two guys had handed the person a whack, just leave the cart and go.
I mean, it's not like the beer was already paid for. Just like, here's a tip for you, leave. And I just remember Rolison like walking over. He's like, beer delivery service. And so, I mean, it kind of went from there. I mean, there was people who stayed up later than other people.
Sure.
I might have been one of them. but it's like, well, I mean,
foreshadowing a future career.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that we, you know, as some of us as skeptical sports fans or whatever, but we've heard athletes talk about, like, some of these guys, it is life and death. This is their whole thing. For other guys, I'm just good at this and it's a career. And so I'm bummed I lost. I played an extra 2 months. I didn't get a cup. I didn't get a ring out of it. But, you know, on to the next thing. Whereas for other guys, it would be absolutely devastating, right, that we have come this far. And so it's just always been interesting to me, what do those moments look like after, you know, where especially we always see some of the guys who've just lost the cup final have to come out and face the media. And some of them look devastated and some you can tell are, this is going to be cruel, but performing the I'm crushed, this is my, and it's just, it's different personalities in the room, right? That's all.
I think it was harder too because there were no superstars on the team, right? Like it was everybody had to perform, so it wasn't one guy's gonna
we're
pick
underdogs,
you up, even though
no one thought we could get here, and people believed you when you said it this time because it was true, because every team tries to use that, right? Like,
so I mean, we've talked about this probably five times, but like, who knew that Fernando Pisani was going to be the number one goal or I think it was goals
stood out in those playoffs, a guy we'd never heard of before.
I mean, he was a shutdown third line center, so I think that was harder that they did this as a team instead of one or two or three players, like everyone had to have each other's back every night or they weren't going to win. And especially with them being sick in round three, I think everyone just had to step up and kind of go the extra mile for the next person down the line instead of being like, we're gonna leave it to whoever to be a difference, which would be a Connor McDavid early on.
Yeah, we have a star who will break the game.
Yeah,
for
there was no star. I think what the star was Alex Hemsky. I mean, good player, but like
Ryan Smith.
Yep.
But Ryan Smith again, not a 50 goal guy, a heart and soul guy.
Yeah, exactly. He'll stand for the net and just take it off his butt. And I'm pretty sure that happened in the playoffs. So.
it's just always interesting to kind of dissect the mood afterward and what they're all going
and now
through.
That they have like the new arena. I mean, this was still when it was Rexall Place. Yep. But now they have new arenas downtown and they have, you know, we didn't have really the where they stand outside the ice district or
well, did you sell tickets in the building for the road games like they do now?
I believe that they did.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me that the last time and look, Edmonton obviously has a rich history, what they did through the 80s and in 1990. The last two being against kind of Carolina and now Florida, these non-traditional markets versus like the most traditional of traditional hockey markets. It's as far north in Canada as you can go and play NHL hockey. I believe, I know I read that this is the biggest geographical chasm between two Stanley Cup final contenders, South Florida all the way up to northern Alberta. So that creates a bit of an interesting wrinkle to it as well. But Carolina, not far off of that. And Yeah, it's just interesting to see this many years later, 18 years later, that they're different versions of... Look, I don't know if the Oilers are the favorites. This is pretty close, right? The Panthers are very good. But last time, the Oilers were not the favorites in any of the series that they played. And to come seven games in the Stanley Cup final... And it's something we never talk about, right? That term, the Stanley Cup hangover, when you win the cup, everyone gives you a little leeway to start the next season. Well, they had the shortest summer. Guys haven't recovered from injury completely yet. A little beat up, you know, in this particular case. But with everybody who loses the Stanley Cup final, hey, I went just as far as that guy. I played just as many games as those guys. How come I don't get any slack coming into the next season? I still got a banged up knee or a... You know, I had surgery that hasn't quite healed yet. It's funny. When you win the cup, you get that slack, but the team that played you just as deep does not. It's an interesting...
Yeah, it is true. But I think nowadays, like, they have the best trainers. They have, like, you can't... I don't know if you can use that anymore.
But if this goes seven games, it ends on June 24th, and you're going to have to be at camp on September yeah. or whatever. Like, you got...
But Florida's got their 2 years in a row. Tampa yeah. got their 2 years in a row. So, I mean, at some point... Maybe I'm not saying that there isn't, but with all, I mean, it's probably
it clearly
than 20,
does
25,
catch up with you
yes,
at some point. At
but
some
25
point.
Years ago, when you didn't have the trainers or the rest or whatever, yep. or you know these medical, you know they sit sure. in whatever yeah. nice things. I don't know if you can say that anymore. I mean, people will, I guess. But I look at, like, the NFL and the Chiefs. I mean, they just went back-to-back. They had a toughest schedule
yeah.
last year because in the NFL after you went, right?
But it's a shorter season, fewer games.
Yeah. But I'm just wondering if that...
But your point about the Panthers is fair. They went all the way last year, lost, and here they are again.
Yeah.
So... You know, it's not necessarily an yeah. excuse, but
and I'm sure there definitely is because you don't get, you know, everybody else has five. They take a month to relax and then they're like slowly back yeah. getting back to the gym. Like when they, you know, they're going to have to take some time. And then, I mean,
yeah, if this goes seven, the yeah. draft is 3 days later. Free agency is a week after that. And it's July. You better be back up and training. Right. Like, it's,
yeah, no, it'll be interesting to see. I am so pumped. So pumped for this series. I'm so pumped for Edmonton. And it's funny, someone on Facebook that I worked with at the Oilers like tagged all of us yesterday.
Nice.
And just after we had talked about like reminiscing yeah. or whatever. And she's like, oh, this is the best time. Like, and it was. We had the best staff. Truly the best time, and I know everyone in Edmonton. I know all the old gang is going to get back together. Unfortunately, I'm too far, but
it's a little outside your selling territory.
Yeah.
Western Canada.
But you know, it was great. Like I got my brother's tickets to come to the Stanley Cup final. I think my dad and my stepmom came for a bit, and they were just overwhelmed. It was.
So can you tell me a little more about that? Like. I just assumed, and foolishly, obviously, that it was only the players who were granted two tickets, four tickets, whatever
yeah.
it might be. Everyone who worked for the team to down to a certain level was granted a chance ahead of everybody else to buy tickets?
Yeah, so as part of our compensation, we got tickets like during the regular season.
Right.
So in the finals, we would split with somebody else. So you'd go one game... You know, you'd work a game
right.
and then you'd have
three,
tickets for the other one. Or you'd get two tickets for each one. So what some people did was if they were going to bring their family, I'd be like, okay, I'll give you my two tickets.
Right.
Then you can go, you know, with three other people. But if I can get your two for the next game,
sure.
you know, because we did have to work too. I mean, I didn't sit down and actually watch a game except for a Carolina game set because I was working.
Right.
So the tickets were for people I knew, my brother flew out, and then my dad flew out another time to go, and it was just wild. It was amazing, and it's just a really good memory, and I hope this time it's different, because as I said, during the second intermission of that game in Carolina, I'm like, honest to God, this is probably my only time to get a ring in life. Can you please just do it?
It's funny, those 20 guys out on the ice, they got a lot of people hanging on them, right?
Yeah.
Going, we need you to get this done. And
I know. And it was so close. And, you know, I feel that, you know, it's a what if, right? What if Rowley didn't get hurt?
Yeah,
what if
of course.
Conklin would have started game two?
Anybody who loses their starting goalie
well,
in the cup
yeah.
final, you're behind the eight ball.
And I just remember because it was Marc-Andre Bergeron who ran into him. I mean, didn't. Yeah. He was like pushed in.
Yeah.
Everyone, I think he was out for the rest of the series. Not out because but he was taken out of the lineup for a few games. And I mean, to this day, if I was him, I would still have that, even though it wasn't his fault. You know, that would still be in my brain that maybe this is the one chance that he would have to win the Stanley Cup, right? And it probably was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. I definitely will be watching this Saturday night, I think it starts.
Yep.
And so it's really good, too. So they play on travel days. They have two days off. Yeah. Because the last one, it was Vancouver, Boston. It was the second longest. Because I was trying to think, because I'm like, Carolina to Edmonton has to be far.
I was thinking about it, too. In my head, I had Montreal, LA in 93, thinking that's probably the furthest. And it wasn't. Yeah. It was Vancouver, Boston, I guess, that it was before this.
I think it was 4,025 kilometers. And this one's, I think, just over... I think 42 or 43.
Something like that.
So it's quite a lot.
It's far. It's a lot of travel.
But I was like, oh, Carolina. But I'm like, yeah, I guess Florida's further. So,
yeah.
But yeah. So, yeah, a good 4.5, 5.5 hour flight, I think. So, well, to Carolina, so probably six to.
Yeah, a little further.
Yeah. So it'll be fun. I'm excited. Always excited to watch the Stanley Cup. Most times, if it's not anyone I like, I just kind of watch it. Know what's going on, but this one I'll be definitely watching every game.
See, I'm anything but a hardcore Oilers fan. Like, I'm not one of those people who's like, well, the last Canadian team standing, I'm in. That's not me. But I don't like the Florida Panthers. I really don't. And there are personal reasons for that, of course.
Okay.
What they've done to the Leafs and just in general, I don't like Sam Bennett. I don't like Matthew Tkachuk. And so some of these... And so I do find myself, by default... on the side of the Oilers, but it's not the Canadian thing. It's more even just the fact of being able to watch on the biggest stage, the game's best player. Connor McDavid needs to play in a Stanley Cup final, right? And so I'm excited to watch that. There's a bunch of things we can get into here otherwise, but why don't you tell me about the second beer that we're going to have here before we get into some of that?
Okay, so this is our Starboard. This is one of our core products, so it's available all year round. LCBO beer store grocery. So it's an New England IPA. So it's 5.4%, but it has 46 IBUs. So IBUs is International Bitterness Unit.
Yeah.
So there's it's a little bit hoppier than the one we just had. So that had 9. So orange, grapefruit, a touch of strawberry. So East Coast ale yeast. So it's good. I think we talked about this before.
Yep.
I'm not an overly big IPA fan. But I do like this one. And I only say that because they're usually higher in alcohol content.
Right.
This one's not that bad, though, because something we get to like 6.5, 7, 8,
sure.
To me, those, for me, are not tasty.
Okay.
But this one has
hanging in 5.4%
over the other one we just
still
had.
Hoppy,
so, yeah, it still has a really good flavor. What are your thoughts?
I think I'm getting the grapefruit more than anything else. I'm not getting a ton of orange off of it. I forget what the third one that you said there
strawberry.
Was. But yeah, I think I'm getting mostly grapefruit off of this, but it's pretty nice. As you say, not overpowering and, you know, that a pleasant hoppiness that you want out of an IPA. Like it took me a while to warm up to the IPAs, and maybe the opposite of you. I have found myself, if I'm going to have an IPA, drifting more West Coast. Whereas a lot of people will go to the New England or the Northeast IPA that's a little juicier, right? Just slightly different way of doing it. And so this has kind of got that nice blend. It is juicy. It's got kind of that grapefruit to it, but with that still kind of crisp, bitterness that comes with a West Coast. I'm enjoying that a lot.
And I have a few places like Kingston Yacht Club that has it on draft. And it's, everything is usually better on draft, but it's so good either way. It's been around for a very long time.
Yeah.
Like I said, one of our cores, so it's made all year round.
And, yeah, I've had this one many times. It's one of it's a go-to.
Like I said, we have beers for all tastes. So it's good and. Looking forward. I mean, this one you can drink all year round, too.
Yep.
Like, I wouldn't say that it's more a winter beer, like higher alcohol, higher IBUs. But, I mean, it would be good.
No, you're right. You can grab one of these out of your cooler anytime and be pretty happy, especially if you dig a good IPA. So.
Yeah.
I'm curious, what else has been on your mind? Because The Blue Jays, struggling a little bit.
Struggling, actually.
Struggling.
Like, yes.
Are you planning on traveling at all this summer? Normally you'll, not always, but often you'll pull out a sports trip at some point over the summer. Anything like that on the docket?
Well, hoping to. So just with the Blue Jays, I have nothing. Yeah. They leave players on base. I think they're the most, they have the highest percentage of not
stranded,
getting people in running
runners.
Position, in yeah. runners yeah. in scoring position with less than one out. So everyone's hitting poorly except for David Schneider, which I still think is an amazing story.
Well, and Vlad's hitting fine as long as you're only interested in singles.
Yep.
He's hitting a lot of singles.
Yeah. And the pitching's not bad. No. It's just them not hitting. Like, Bichette is low, Springer's low, Varsho, I mean, is low last year, but I mean, if nobody else, I mean, Danny Jansen's a great, I think after
that
his injury last year, yeah.
He just decided if it's inside,
yeah, he's going to go
I'm
for
gonna
it.
I'm going to swing at it and pull it, and otherwise, whatever happens, happens.
As to traveling, I sold my house, so trying to find a new one.
I've seen a few.
Yeah,
a few shots of the new place, enjoying the summer barbecue.
Well, no, it had to. I had to pull out. I just showed you pictures of what it would look like, but the conditional sale fell through. Just too many. So I can't plan something until I know if I have somewhere to live. Live with my mom. It's fine. But so kind of just dealing with that. But yes, there will be, even if it's just a quick weekend, I'd really love to go to Chicago to see the Sox and the Cubs.
You don't need to see the Cubs or the Sox this year. They're just
they're
awful.
Terrible, but I mean, if I'm already there,
fair enough.
They're 20 minutes apart.
Yeah.
The stadium. So I will do something. I just don't know what yet.
And you did text me about an NFL issue.
Oh, see, I was wondering if you
it's up to you. We don't have to hit it.
Well, I'll go. It's funny because I was actually talking about this last night with somebody. I was literally asking you a question, but I went through like this big.
Yeah, it came with
a paragraph, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I was going to ask you if I could drop off
here.
There
was a bit of a diatribe.
Not
a tirade. That's too slow. But like what had you so upset?
What had me so upset is, did you talk about Harrison Bucker on your show? Okay, so let's do this.
Harrison Bucker.
Bucker, yes. NFL kicker who had one of the best commencement speeches of all time.
I don't even remember what school he was speaking at. But.
Benedictine College.
Okay.
Divisive comments about, the gay community being demonic and women being told diabolical lies about getting promoted, working when the best thing they'd ever do is to be a homemaker,
yes,
a wife, and have children. So apparently, like, my life means nothing because, I don't have kids.
Not supposed
married.
To do anything but find somebody to cook for,
yeah,
I guess.
I know. I should get on that. Yeah, maybe I should find. The only reason, there's many reasons why I had problems with it.
Well, this was a huge story for a week or so.
So here are kind of my thoughts on it. Obviously, said before I might get to Lee. I might get to Lee today. I might not.
But it's curious to me, no matter how shitty your opinion might be, not yours, Mr. Harrison Bucker.
Okay, thank you for saying that. I could have a shitty opinion. You never know.
Yeah, no, we all have shitty opinions on something. And unfortunately, one of us sits here and puts a mic in front of his face four times a week and spews them all over the place. But Harrison Bucker, I don't understand how you thought this was ever going to work to go and say something so ridiculous at a commencement speech. Like, did you assume no one would be filming? No proud parent getting ready to watch their, whether it be a news outlet or not, how you ever thought you were going to get away with standing up and saying gay people are demonic and women should belong in the kitchen. That's the thing.
It's 2024. He spread it around, though.
Yeah.
He spread it around.
Oh, yeah. No, he hated everybody.
Yeah, I know. So, except if you're a white man. So,
yeah, no, white men have never done anything wrong.
Right.
That's why the world's in the great shape it's in right now.
Right, yeah. So it was more, you can have your thoughts, obviously, and freedom of speech. Everyone's allowed to say it. And people have been saying that to me, freedom of speech. I'm like, yeah, so I have the freedom of speech to tell him that he's a fucking loser.
Yep.
Like, that's how it goes. So the issue was, he said, ladies, or the women in the crowd, like, let me talk specifically towards you.
These are women who are graduating university
and paid hundreds of thousands of dollars. Yeah. To, like, oh, good for you, but you should just be breeding. Like,
the best thing you can do is be a mom and a homemaker and a cook. And,
So apparently I'm not living my best life, which I think I am. But anyway, and that's where I kind of have the issue with it.
You know? I can see that. Yeah. I think a lot of people had an issue with that.
So when the nuns of Benedictine College go on their Facebook page and say, we do not agree with him. Nuns who, I, you know, they're a little bit more religious than Harrison Becker. Maybe if the nuns aren't with you, bro. Yeah.
Who are you speaking for?
And so the issue I have, too, is that he was hiding behind religion. And my family is religious. Mm-hmm. I have an aunt who's gay who goes to church every Sunday. So you cannot take that away from her. Like, you're hiding behind your religion for bigotry, misogyny, and all the other bad G's. And saying, but, oh, it's my faith. And that's not, that's literally
meanwhile,
not what
nuns are standing up behind you going, nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Like I say, if you don't have the nuns, you don't got nothing.
Yeah.
You know? So, and I don't understand how that is different than Colin Kaepernick. And Colin Kaepernick was really blackballed by the NFL. And that was his free speech. That was his free...
To take a knee during the anthem?
I mean, it wasn't... he wasn't breaking the rules. That was his freedom of expression. So then...
Well, the thing that gets left out of that story is that his initial thought was to stay on the bench and sit. And he spoke to a former military, which is why we do all this. Yay, the military. And what?
Yeah.
Look, they are the bravest amongst us in both countries. I certainly understand that. And he asked one of them, would you consider that disrespectful? And he said, I see what you're trying to do. I would line up with your team and take a knee as opposed to just staying on the bench. And he sort of went, okay, I can still make my point and
not disrespect the military.
Right. And that's the way he chose to do it. And instead of deferring to members of the military, the greater public went, ah, fuck you. You don't get to play here anymore. All right. Like, this is... We're not good at this, like, as a society, of acknowledging, instead of looking at it, instead of looking at what this guy's trying to draw attention to, we just look at this guy, right? And it's the same as Harrison Butker, who clearly needs to be re-educated, and instead, we just treat it as a sensational story for a week or so, and now it's forgotten, and he'll report to camp in whatever, then, 6 weeks, and nothing will happen.
So the Chiefs come out, NFL says... It was on his private time.
Yeah.
This is not how we feel.
Sure.
Okay. The Chiefs are like, well, you know, it's about religion.
Free
We're not
going to
get. I mean, Patrick Mahomes said, oh, he's a stand up guy. I mean, do I agree with what he says? No, but like, he's a really great teammate and his character on the field. And I'm like, I get all that. You have to say that because you have to play with him. But I think when I was listening to the New Heights podcast with Jason Travis Kelce, obviously they had to bring this up.
Yeah.
But how they're going around the topic, I don't agree with anything that he says, but he's a stand-up guy. He is not a stand-up guy if he's saying these
things.
He just
showed you who he was.
Yes, exactly. But I know they have to say it because they don't want touching in the locker room. I bet you in 4 years, if this would have happened and Travis wasn't on the team, because
always
he literally pointed out my teammate's girlfriend. I mean, she has a name. and talked about her song Bejeweled, which is getting out from a man's spotlight and taking on her own. And he literally made fun of her in this. And she's the biggest biggest person on the planet now.
Yep.
And I think she deserved a little bit more respect for putting her. I mean, you didn't have to bring her up to it anyway. And you did because you don't like the success that she's had because she should be at home.
Apparently making babies and cooking dinner.
But I mean, I think there could have been a better reaction to it. And I would also say that the only position a woman can play in football is the one that Harrison Becker has right now.
The kicker.
So he should just kind of keep his mouth shut. I just don't like when you hide behind something and say it's your religious beliefs. To spread hate and to be divisive.
When you use it as an excuse.
Yeah.
And when your religion has already openly and publicly said, yeah, no, that's not how we feel.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
and again, he is free to say whatever
free speech. Has always been the thing. Free speech is fine. You're not free from consequence.
But, yes,
like, once
exactly.
you say these things, everyone gets to react.
He's like, everyone's so coming down so hard on me just for my religious beliefs. I'm like, stop saying that. The nuns are going to come after you. Yeah. I swear to God.
There's no religion in the world that says women are bound to the kitchen.
No. Like, no, but and then he's like, my wife Isabel wanted to work, but you know, she's found her dream vocation as being it just. I'm like, can you stop talking? Like, it was bad from the beginning. I listened to it yesterday for a little while, but I didn't need to because it was still ingrained in my brain. Just yeah. so I had it all in case you asked me about it. Because I didn't bring it up when I came in here today, but I did text you about it.
Yeah,
I just. Women and the gay community will never get through this without allies from white men. It's just that's how we're going to get through these things. And, you know, having someone come up there with the platform that he did, that he has, and say these things. So some of the men will be like, hey, yeah, you're right. I'm just going to find someone who will breed for me, you know.
Yeah.
And then women are like, but should I go get a job? Like, I just spent $200,000 on a degree, like, but this boy is telling me I shouldn't even do it.
Speaking at a university graduation, all these women have just finished being educated. Like, go home. This is the moment you've chosen, eh? This is the good luck getting ever. No, there is a certain segment of society that will welcome him.
Oh.
But whether he'll ever speak at another university convocation seems pretty unlikely.
Yeah. And everyone's like, well, you know, it was a conservative Catholic.
Still, like, these women went and got educated.
Yeah.
That's what they just spent all their money on to become educated, didn't be able to go out and do whatever they want to do with their lives. And to celebrate the end of it, you've got a guy come and say, yeah, no, chef and breeder. That's your gig.
Yeah.
So what a they're fucking like, well, loser.
Well, in the Bible, and I mean, there are some snippets of what he's saying. I think he's taking it the wrong way. But there's also stuff in the Bible says you shouldn't trim your beard. Like, yeah. So we either follow it all or not.
Yeah.
Not just the ones that you'd like to kind of pick out. So
the Bible says, do not touch a dead pig's skin. Sorry, dude, your career's over. We can't play football anymore if we're taking this shit literally. Fuck.
But this is what it is. They just bring like points that go to their right, like bigotry. You're getting more fired up than I am.
Well, because these people are just, I pick and choose the things that work for me and ignore the rest. And yeah, okay. Good for you, man, I guess.
That can be your view. That's fine. You're allowed to have it.
But in that moment, this is what you've chosen to talk to university students about?
I know. Like, oh, my wife, like, I just think that women have come way too far. We have way too much to go through. I mean, with all the Roe v. Wade being overturned in the States, like, we're always fighting every day to be, and we, like, people say, oh, feminist. But the actual definition of feminist is just trying to be equal. Mm-hmm. So we don't want more, and we don't certainly want to be less. And then same for the LGBTQ plus community. Yeah. Like, can people just not, like, it? I don't care. People can love who they love.
Well, we did that to open Monday morning show. Happy Pride. And carried on with the regular show. Like, if that's something you acknowledge, cool.
Yeah.
If not, that's, you know.
And I did bring it today, but we have our Pride beer, and it's called True to Be You. And, you know, like,
I think we talked about that one last year.
Yeah,
it's
the
nice
Lamb
beer,
Cherry goes.
Like, yeah.
So it's available. We won't be, it'll be at a few places around here, but mostly just online. Like, it's not in the LCBO or beer store, so it's definitely available online, and proceeds go to that amazing community. But people are like, oh, they have a choice. I'm like, honestly, if they had a choice, they'd probably pick the easier route, kids. Like,
100%.
They're trying to just live their best lives, and really, it doesn't affect my life.
No.
So just let them.
Yeah.
No one cares what I'm doing in my personal life. Well, actually, a lot of people care, but I just mean no one cares who I'm dating. So, like,
that's
like,
it.
Yeah.
That's it. You be you, I'll be me, and we'll all carry on with our day. It should not be any more complicated than that. But
no.
Here's where we are sometimes. This show got a little heavier than I thought
I
expected.
I know, but it's good. But I mean, it had to do with sports.
These are important things.
Yeah. It had to do with sports. It had to do with someone who has a really big platform about, he could have said a million other things.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of the response was not the response I thought the NFL would give, the Chiefs would give. But again, they want to win a third. It's a very, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a very about them.
self-centered.
Yeah. That they don't take more action against it.
Well, on June 1st, I tweeted out because it was the first day of Pride, and so a lot of organizations, a lot of companies, a lot of sports teams tweeting out, you know, Happy Pride, and just changing for the month their profile picture or their, you know, whatever the other one is called, the banner that's kind of across the top, or tweeting out something that was just in acknowledgement. And that was probably going to be the extent of their acknowledgement of the occasion. And we can have a discussion whether that's enough or whether it isn't. But all day, there are people roaming around the internet looking to do nothing than just reply to every one of these companies, every one of these teams goes, ah, leave it out, or, you know, just baseball, or, you know, this is your whole day. It was gorgeous on Saturday, Angela. Like, it was a nice day, and people stayed inside to just find different companies acknowledging the Pride, the start of Pride, and going, yeah, no, you know, it was one of the NHL teams. I can't even remember which one it was. It was the Bruins who had tweeted it out, and fuck them because I don't like them. But they tweeted out Happy Pride and whatever it was, and a little image. And the first person underneath is always one of these people who's paid for Twitter, who's now replying saying, oh, I thought you were above this. I'll never be a fan again. It's like, yeah, see you in September, douche. Yeah. Like, you're not going anywhere. But is this how you really want to spend your day? Like,
Well, if a little rainbow is going to hurt your feelings, I think you need to have, because I have lots of big problems. And if the rainbow is the only biggest problem in your life, I'll hand people over mine, and then they can have something to worry about. Just honestly, let people love who they love. Yeah. Let people be who they be. It doesn't matter.
You be you, I'll be me. Let's all carry on all our day.
Yeah, and we're all equal. And we got to stop honestly letting people like that talk to
it's just laughable.
It is. And like I said,
and like, I'm embarrassed for them, I'm sad for them. You haven't been better educated.
I said, if you don't have the nuns at your college on your side, then there is an issue. So they're like, we're not this divisive, we want unity, and we don't agree with what he said. And I'm assuming they're a little bit more religious than he is, but
probably
that okay, I wasn't that bad. CICA was going to be bad. You're actually worse. So you're a little bit more fired up, which I love.
That happens.
You should be. I want people to be fired up about this. Just stop caring about what other people are doing with their lives. Care about yours. And
that's the way it should go.
That's all I got.
So before we wrap this up, this weekend, Lake of Bays will be at the Orleans Craft Brew Festival. If you go on Saturday night,
you know what time it is.
You can say hello to Angela. Maybe say hello to Lever Sage.
We'll make it happen.
We'll right. And so before we get into and recap the two we just drank, you did mention the Pride beer that is available in limited places right now. What was that one called again?
It's called True to Be You. It's a lime cherry goat. So what they do is they take a sour and they put sea salt back into it so it doesn't like pucker your face like sours do. It will be available a few places, but available online in cans.
Okay.
Just the Lake of Bay's website.
The one we just had was the IPA.
Yeah, Starboard. So that's available grocery, beer store, El Cibio, lots of places.
And we kicked off the show with the mango.
Yes, so keep rolling. So it just came out.
Keep on rolling, baby.
I tried to go down low like you, but I can't do it. So available like beer store, grocery, LCBO, some like
that one's going to be all over the place.
Oh, that one's going to be. It's going to be for a while. It's definitely a good one. So I'll bring you a few more so you can take them to like.
Yes. Love that. Always appreciate when you come in. Always appreciate when you bring some pints and enlighten us with what's going on at the Lake of Bays Brewing Company and just kicking things around on the sports world. Appreciate you coming in and doing this.
Well, thanks for having me. It's always a good time.
We will link to Lake of Bays, their website and their socials if you want to follow along and see what's coming new from them. In the meantime, for Angela Thompson, my name is Matt Robinson. We are on social media at Tall Can Audio, and we are on whatever podcast app you're hearing us right now. Go ahead, hit the subscribe button, hit the follow button. We'll keep the good stuff coming for you. We'll check out here and see you on Thursday morning.
The hell is that?
Number one bullshit. Oh, number one bullshit.
Why are you so pissy?